Breathing out, La ilaha, breathing in, Il Allah. Every breath that we receive with awareness is transformed in an alchemy of subtle energies and becomes nourishment for the soul. Every breath that we breathe without awareness merely maintains the physical body. So this merging of awareness and breath is an essential practice, something we can practice throughout our day. La ilaha illallah. now have a feeling of I-ness in the heart. Your true and deeper self. So simultaneously, we're aware of each breath. La ilaha on the out breath, illallah on the in breath. And a feeling of I-ness in the heart. Bismillah Yahu. Continue silently. Welcome, welcome. Yes, water. Good. We hope everybody is well. How about over there at the Garib household? Everybody well?
Mashallah.
Good. When you chose the name Garib, what did it mean to you, Rauf or Zakia?
Basically, I guess the literal translation is stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And this hadith about Islam being a stranger at the beginning and at the end. And there are some others. And also, we tend to find ourselves being strangers wherever we are.
Mm-hmm.
In this dunya,
mm-hmm.
And amongst, I mean, it's not as though we can't get along with others and be right with others and loving and kind and all, but at the same time, it seems there's a part that's always somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that beautiful hadith, I'll give you another version of it, our version of it. It's something like, Islam began as something strange. And so it will be one day again. And blessed are the strangers. Yeah. One of our early books of translation was called Love is a Stranger. It's also true, because it's not of this world, but it comes into this world. So, Evala, good. Nice to see everybody.
Stop for a look. I have an errand to run. Inshallah, I'll see you again before the meeting's over.
Inshallah.
Okay. What did he say?
He has an errand he has to run.
Okay, fine.
Hopes to be back.
Good. Well, I wanted to start tonight with two ayats from the Quran. And let me read them to you. O you who have come to faith, be conscious of God as God deserves to be conscious. Or better yet, be conscious of God as is appropriate, or with a consciousness appropriate. And then this very, very beautiful ayat, which I think is beloved of Sufis especially, but of all true Muslims, all people who have been affected by the divine grace to come to the reality of what is called Islam. And hold fast to the rope of God altogether, and do not be divided. And remember the blessing of Allah upon you, how you once were enemies, and He brought your hearts together, so that through His blessing you became as a family, and you were on the brink of an abyss of fire, and you were saved from it. And so does Allah make clear His signs to you, so that you may be guided. So the first part, the first ayat, which, by the way, for the record, so that you know, remember this, This is from Surah Imran, which is number 3. And this begins with ayat 102 to 103. 102 to 103. So Surah 3, 102 to 103.
It's in the light of dawn, too.
And it's in the light of dawn? Amazing. Okay. So, pardon me. Ya ayuhal aladina amanu takulaha haka tak tukatihi. So the word is takwa. Be conscious of God. Be aware. Be circumspect. Be vigilant. Be especially aware of the consequences of your actions, the consequences of heedlessness. So be aware of the divine reality as and respect it as it deserves to be respected and to be known. And then this beautiful ayat, hold together to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you. And the word for favor here deserves some explanation because it's ni'ama. And that's a word that really has a taste of ecstasy to it. You can say blessing. Well, what's a blessing? Oh, we're all so blessed. We say this, oh, we're so blessed. We know we're so blessed. We're alive. We're basically healthy. We're basically well fed and at peace. But that doesn't begin to describe what nima means. It means to feel the blessing to the point of being ecstatic with that, that the spiritual ecstasy is the blessing. It's something that you know. It's not just something you think about. It's something that touches your heart. And so it continues. And how you were enemies, and he brought your hearts together. And this is also really important. And he brought your hearts together. In the Quran, there is a science of the heart, and there are different conditions of the heart that are described. And this part of the ayat refers to a particular, let's call it station of the heart. And that station is Qalb Mu'alif. And this is the condition of those who have known this togetherness. So you could translate Qalb Mu'alif as the heart united. It's difficult to translate, but Mu'alif also is the Alifa is the root there, Alif, Alifa. And yes, it's like the letter A, number 1. And this word Alifa is used to describe a flock of birds. You know, the way a flock of birds can all fly around like that, as if they were one.
Like the painting on Batsia's wall.
Like the painting on Batsia's wall. And also when a bunch of gazelles come to a watering hole, it also describes that flockness, that togetherness, that unitive state. So that's what's being talked about here. You see how deep this goes, or how beautiful it is. And then it goes on, and he brought your hearts together. Alifa. So that through his ni'mah, through that blessing, you became as an ikhwan, And this is the word that's used in Sufism for the community, the brotherhood, sisterhood, ikhwan. And how you were on the brink of an abyss of fire. And he saved you from it. So does God make clear his signs to you so that you may be guided. So, remember, Surah 3, 102 to 103. May we be guided. May we know that Qalb Mu'alif, the united heart. This is one of the seven stations of the heart. And it's, in some systems, it's considered the second station. Station that is known by those who have been touched, not just individually, but touched in a way that it has united us with each other. I wanted to mention too that on our website, under at the top of the welcome page, there are, what do we call them, words and categories. And one category is Threshold Society. And under that category is another category. When you click on it, it opens up to several. And one of them is Adab. And under that category of Adab, it's actually much more than adab. There are actually six articles there. And the first one is adab, which everyone hopefully has read and should read regularly. It's important. I realize that there's a background to our work, and maybe I've mentioned it so rarely or never mentioned it at all. There's another one following that, number two, The Way of the Dervish. And so on. There are six there, and they're more or less in a sequential order. And read at least the first few of them when you have an opportunity. It will help us to understand what this path is about and what its possibilities are. Does anybody have any questions or any needs, anything you'd like to share with us?
I have a question.
Yes.
Nice to see everyone, I should say first. Yeah. Can you talk more about the seven stations of the heart? I'm sure you've gone over it a few times, but if you could just remind us again.
Well, actually, I haven't. I never have. So that's why you don't remember it. It's a big subject, and in time we will touch on them. It deserves being presented with care. And but I'll tell you about the first two. You've already heard of the second. And the first is called the Station of Not Two Hearts. And it comes from an ayat that says, God did not put two hearts in anybody. And this is where it all begins. When we realize that we have one heart, and what will we give that heart to? Right now I'm forgetting the Arabic for that, but you get the idea. Ma kalbain, not two hearts. And each of these stations has levels within it. Each of these stations has teachings that help to bring about its realization. So tonight we've started with these two, and I appreciate your eagerness. But to even go through the seven, you're not ready for that quite yet. But thanks for asking. You have something to look forward to.
That actually reminds me of something I read in the Mesnavi, where he's saying, don't be cross-eyed where you see two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Funny, because I actually read that today. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
There is one.
Don't see two when there's one.
Yeah.
There's only one. Yeah. And the story goes, the man was seeing two wine bottles, I think. So somebody said, if you think there's two, smash one of them and see what's left. Yeah. But I remember this and reflect, Adelita and everyone, on especially Ayat 103, hold fast to the rope of God. And reflect, come to know that Ayat well and make it part of your life. Patsya, did you know that Ayat?
I just knew the part of hold fast to the rope of God and be not divided. I did not know what comes afterwards, which actually is very beautiful. Yeah. And I always understood the hold fast to the rope of God to hold on to the practice and to the teaching.
Yes.
So I have a different question, if it's okay, Dede.
Of course.
What's the difference between a prophet and a messenger? And are all prophets messengers?
Well, the words are Rasul and Nabi.
Nabi, yeah.
If my poor knowledge is sufficient, it's something that the Nabi, there are many Nabis. I think there are more Nabis than Rasuls. A Rasul is someone who brings a risala, a message, typically in, not necessarily in written, not in written form, but because Quran wasn't written, it was an oral revelation. And even the gospel of Isa, even though we have something called the gospels, they're written down, but that's not necessarily what Isa spoke or said. So the gospel, the Injil of Isa, the gospel of Jesus, was a message that brought by Jesus. We may only know it in distorted form, but okay, so Jesus was a Rasul.
Okay.
Peace be upon him was a Rasul. Moses was a Rasul. But there are others who didn't necessarily bring a revelation, as far as I know. And those are the Nabis and Nubuwa, I think is the plural, is that it? So Prophet Muhammad was called the Hatim an Nubuwa, the seal of the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So that included the Rasuls and the Nabis. So okay. There are, 144,000 prophets, Nabis, in the history of humanity. It's just a symbolic number. And then there are those many fewer who brought revelation to their communities. Of course, the Nabis brought a kind of, I don't know, I can't say their Nabis didn't bring revelation that Of course they did. They brought it in some form, but they didn't bring a written law. They didn't bring, I hesitate to say written law because that confuses the things. Most of the laws were written centuries later. Mm-hmm. But the basic moral teachings and the, for instance, in the case of what Prophet Muhammad brought, he brought a new upgrade, you know, Revelation 8.0 or something.
Okay.
So, but anyway, you get the idea.
Thank you. So, would Abraham be just a prophet and not a rasul?
No, I would. What do I know? But I would think Abraham would be a rasul.
Okay, like Jonah, for example, would not be a rasul.
Maybe not.
Among the ones that names I know, not the 144,000 who.
Right. Are there any mullahs here in the group that would like to correct me? Why are you laughing, Manip?
Dede, because that's my title at home. I'm called that by Natasha constantly. That's why I was laughing. Sorry.
Does what I say accord with your understanding, Munib?
Absolutely, then. Yes.
All right. So we have some common. Well.
But then there's a mystical side of it also. And if you look at some of Ibn Arabi's writings and revelations, depending on the station of the Sufi, even they're addressed in certain ways and are supposed to emulate certain prophets and their attributes and all that. So it gets into a deeper discussion, which leads to fatwas and the written laws you're talking about. So we won't go into that.
I'll go into that. Every Rasul and Nabi is also a Wali, a saint. And I think Ibn Arabi would say that the saints are, I want to be careful here, not to mislead or misstate something, but sainthood is not less than prophethood. Every prophet must be a saint, otherwise they wouldn't be worthy of that prophethood. So, wilayat, saintness, and saint is, of course, in English, a Latin word. I like wali and walaya better because it means friend of God. It means one who is close to God. It doesn't carry quite the baggage of the words saint and saintly in Western languages. But sainthood is spiritually a very high station. And being a prophet is a function, profound function, a gift of God. Maybe I've said enough. Any more might confuse us. Evola, welcome back, Ro. Yeah. Yes. So, time for zikr? Yes. Okay. Will you pass me the water, dear?